What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Welcome to an all-new season of the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. This season, we dive into the most horrific unsolved murders in history. From the Black Dahlia murder to the unsolved murder of the Lady of the Dunes. Join us every Tuesday on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. As always, we thank you for listening.
Welcome to an all-new episode of the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. The podcast where I share true crime stories for your entertainment. But you might lose some sleep after listening to some of these stories. To stay up to date with all of our content, check us out on Twitter at TrueCrimeNS and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. This show is sponsored by Hunt a Killer and Pondex. For more information about them, check the link in the description. It's a pleasure to have you here, and let's get into today's episode. A whole family being murdered. Can you imagine that? Losing one loved person is tough, but imagine losing a whole family all at once. The Dardeen family murder had major social impact, and it's known until this day. As I always say, the purpose of this podcast is to bring awareness to crimes to avoid that other people go through it. So let me tell you the Dardeen family story. Keith Dardeen, a native of Mount Carmel, bought the trailer in 1986 after completing the training required for his job as a treatment plant operator at the Wren Lake Water Conservancy District's nearby facility. Elaine Dardeen, who was from Albion, a little closer to Ina, moved there later with her 2-year-old son, Peter Dardeen. They rented the land it sat on from a nearby farming couple. Keith worked. His wife found a job at an office supply store in Mount Vernon, the Jefferson County seat. When not working, the couple were part of the musical ensemble at a small Baptist church in the village. Keith sang lead vocals while Elaine played the piano. This comes to show that the family was involved in the community. They had a strong presence and respect. In 1987, Elaine became pregnant with her second child. They had to decided to name it either Ian or Casey, depending on whether it was a boy or a girl. The new addition to the family made them decide to move to another area. So by late in the year, they had put the mobile home up for sale. However, that was not the only reason for the move. According to Joanne Dardeen, Keith's mother, he had said he would move back to Mount Carmel even if he were unable to find a job there before doing so, as he regretted ever having moved to Ina. Telling her that the area was becoming too violent. There had been 15 homicides in Jefferson County during the previous 2 years, starting with those committed by Thomas Odell, a Mount Vernon teenager, who had killed his parents and 3 siblings as they individually returned to the house one night in 1985. Though Odell, as well as some of those charged with murder in the other cases, had been convicted, residents of the rural area had become fearful and stressed. A friend of Keith said that after a 10-year-old girl had been raped and murdered in the area in 1987, Keith became so protective of the family that one night when a young woman came by the mobile home asking if she could make a phone call, he refused to let her in. The family was not comfortable in the area anymore, and they needed a fresh start. However, the family story would take a turn that no one ever expected. On November 18th, Keith, who had been a reliable worker at the treatment plant, did not report for his shift. He had not called to inform his supervisor that he would be unable to come in, and calls to his house went unanswered all day. His supervisor called both of Keith's parents, who were divorced, but still lived near each other in Mount Carmel. Neither of them knew what could have happened to their son. His relationship with his boss was great, and that was probably one of the reasons the bodies were found so quickly. So Don Dardeen, Keith's father, called the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office and agreed to drive down to Ina with the house key and meet deputies at the home of his son and daughter-in-law. Inside, they found the bodies of Elaine, Peter, and a newborn girl all tucked in the same bed. Elaine had been bound and gagged with duct tape. Both had been beaten to death, apparently with a baseball bat found at the scene, a birthday gift to Peter from his father earlier that year. Elaine had been beaten so severely that she had gone into labor and delivered a girl who soon met with the same fate as her mother and brother. Keith was not there, nor was his car. Right away, investigators assumed he had killed his wife and children. A team of armed police went to his mother's house in Mount Carmel looking for him. The search ended late the following day. However, when a group of hunters found his body in a wheat field not far from the trailer, he had been shot 3 times. Plymouth was found parked outside the police station in Benton, 11 miles south of the Dardeen home, its interior full of blood. Now let's dive into the investigation. Local police agencies joined forces with the Illinois State Police to investigate the crime. A total of 30 detectives worked full-time following leads and interviewing 100 people. None of what they found proved anything. A man taken into custody early on was released after being questioned. Likewise, a co-worker of Keith's, with whom he reportedly had been having a dispute, was cleared. No one who knew the couple had anything bad to say about them. A small quantity of marijuana was found in the trailer, but not enough to suggest they were involved in dealing. Police even believed the marijuana might have been inadvertently left behind by the killer or killers. The autopsies found no drugs or alcohol in any of the victims. The coroners put the time of death for all the Dardeens at within an hour of each other. The bodies in the trailer had been killed 12 hours before they were found. Keith had been dead for 24 to 36 hours when he was found. Resolving this question, however, made it harder to determine how the crime had been committed, since Keith's body was found away from the trailer, and he may have been killed at that location rather than with his family. At the trailer, the killer or killers had apparently taken the time to not only tuck Elaine's body into bed, along with their children's bodies, but also to clean up the scene, suggesting they did not feel any urgency to leave. The amount of effort involved led police to theorize that the crime would have taken place at night. The trailer was on Route 37, a busy state highway, but could be seen at the time from Interstate 57, almost 2,000 feet to the west. It was also an open question as to whether there was one killer or multiple. Even 2 FBI profilers got in on action to try to solve the crime, but no strong evidence was found. There was a lack of trust on most depositions and suspects. The case was very personal to most people in the area. So everyone was acting with their hearts and not thinking too clearly. Unfortunately, this story is a story of another unsolved crime that happened in the U.S. Even years after the crime, it still serves as a reference to trying to solve other crimes. How can a strong, present, and correct family suffer from a killer and the killer not even be found? Let us know your thoughts with us on Twitter at TrueCrimeNS. We'd love to hear what you think about this case and whether you think a suspect will ever be caught. Thanks for listening. And be sure to check us out on Facebook and subscribe to our podcast on all major podcast platforms.
Thank you for listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TrueCrimeNS. Like us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps. Send us a voice message at anchor.fm/TrueCrimeNeverSleeps/message. Tune in next week for an all-new episode.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.